The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Boy, it was a great football weekend. It started with the Big Ten returning. We had great college football on Saturday. The NFL was fantastic to watch yesterday. A lot of points being scored. I had the over, by the way, in the Arizona-Seattle
game.
Look
at you.
DraftKings was doing a special promotion, too, where if you played $50 or more on the over, they were giving you $5 for every extra point. So, like, you were getting some sort of insurance, even if the over didn't hit. Every time they kicked an extra point, you got five extra dollars. So I was thinking, look, they're going to score five or six touchdowns.
The way you gamble, you should probably buy a new car today.
No, I'm terrible at this. I do have the Bears tonight, though, with the six.
I have them covering as well, but I do have them losing.
All right, 312-332-3776. Back in the day, Steve Levy would always be on our show. He was such a good dude to this show. Like, before he was the Monday Night Football host, he would come over to, like, the wing of the ESPN building where no one even used it anymore. Like, when Waddle and Sylvie came to town and we had to do a show, they wouldn't even let us in the audio wing.
Nope.
We were, like, in the old radio wing. And, like, Steve Levy's like,
I think it was underground.
It was probably underground, yeah. And Levy's like, I don't care where it is. These are my guys. I'm coming to see them. And he would do stuff with us in person. We had a lunch with a legend with him once. He used to come on to talk Hawks with us a bunch. And one guy who has been good to us from the very start and remains that way is Steve Levy. And it's awesome to see him be the voice now of Monday Night Football. And our other great friend, too, Lewis Riddick, is alongside of him. And they're doing great work, the three-man booth. And Steve Levy joins us right now, live from Los Angeles, on the Corona Hotline. Hey, Steve, thanks for everything.
Hey, what's up, fellas? So good to hear your voice and talk to you. And Sylvie, I hear great things about your personal health, and that really makes me happy. So all good things to you in this ridiculously crazy 2020 that is now, you know, starting to fly, right? We're really starting to move. Here comes November, and it's a great part of the football season as well.
And congratulations to you. How's it been for you doing the Monday night games?
You know, it's been an adjustment up. You know, I'll give it to you straight. Your boy won't lie to you. I mean, it was, you know, it's a little stressful. This position can be a little stressful. Apparently, a few people are watching these games. And a few people like to have their opinions out on Twitter. You know, look, there was so much attention, right, on the Monday Night Football booth. And, you know, the last, I don't know, 5 years even, whatever it was. And so, you know, my first goal was kind of, hey, let's just get through, you know, a game and a half. Let's go two games here and try to get the focus back on the field where it belongs. And, you know, I think as a group we've done that. We're starting to settle in a little bit and sort of find our rhythm. And now, you know, we're just really hoping to get a good game tonight, right? I mean, you know, the best broadcasters are you know, get the best games kind of thing. And I mean the games on the field, not the matchups. So, it's, you know, it's like last week was really hard, right? You're all fired up. We had the potential for a great game last week. And then the Cowboys, you know, just don't show up. And we found out yesterday that, well, that's who the Cowboys are now, you know. Yeah. So we're hoping a good one. You know, don't expect a lot of points tonight.
Right.
But great defense and a close game at the end, and that'll be great for everybody.
Steve, that's what I was going to suggest. Neither of these offenses has, you know, done much the last two years in this series. Are you expecting more of the same, where this will be a low-scoring game dominated by both of these defenses?
You know, I mean, so, but isn't that the NFL, right? When all things point to defensive showdown, you know, 17-14 kind of game, and then we'll get something in the 30s tonight. That's kind of the way the league is, right? It gives you the unexpected when you think you know what you're talking about. And so, you know, we'll see, right? There's so much great defensive talent on there. And yeah, you know, I'm looking at the Bears offense, and you know, where are the explosive plays going to come from? You know, Patterson on a return. Allen Robinson, how many big plays can he make? But, you know, you just don't see it really, right? And so, you know, the Rams, I think, have a little bit more offense, But I think the Bears' defense is better, too, so that sort of balances things out tonight.
Steve, what did Matt Nagy give you, if anything, in the production meeting?
You know, we joked about the record. Like, you know, I asked him about it, like, the counting how many times, you know, you said you guys are 5-1 in you know, a 17-minute press conference. And, you know, he gave me sort of a smirk and a smile, like it's sort of coincidence, but it's not really coincidence. I think he's trying to pump up his team, right? I think he's trying to keep the confidence level where it is. And to me, that's one of the takeaways, right? That you're 5-1 and you haven't played all that well. Like, there's still so much room for growth. And I think Nick Foles really hit it. You know, you want to be figuring this out when you're 5-1, not figuring it out at 1-5. So that's a tremendous advantage I think the Bears have had to this point. And, you know, I know the schedule gets tougher a little bit coming up here. And so we'll find out. We're going to find out something about Chicago. I know, you know, they've been fortunate to win some of these games, right? Some of the breaks have obviously gone their way, and the football gods tend to even things out. So, you know, maybe that's working against them as well. So, but Nagy seems confident in his guys, and my guys, Greasy and Riddick, are not as confident in the offensive line, and that'll definitely be a focus point tonight.
What do you expect from Nick Foles, Steve? Here's a guy with tremendous experience. He's obviously been a Super Bowl MVP, but it's been uneven, to say the least, so far this year in a Bears uniform.
Isn't that his career, though? I mean, that's his whole career, uneven, right? Like, at the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. I was really thinking about this morning. I can't think of anyone who truly has a story similar to Nick Foles. I mean, he's been through really everything. You know, he talked about, you know, that one season, actually, with the Rams, by the way, before they brought the franchise to L.A. I mean, he said he was in tears and just hated the game and didn't want to be around it. And, you know, was ready to retire, and then, you know, goes to Kansas City, and Andy Reid, you know, sort of bails him out and resurrects his career. And I think this would surprise a lot of people. Foles said his favorite year in football was in Kansas City in 17, not the Philly special, not winning the Super Bowl with the Eagles. And, look, he's an easy guy to root for, though. He's so likable. He's so real, and, again, he's got such a great story, and you root for a guy like him.
We've talked a lot about it, Steve, because, you know, obviously the quarterback topic has driven us nuts for years.
we've got that graphic built tonight, too. Don't you worry.
By the way, really quick, I don't know if he's ever told, because you've done games with Greasy for a while now, right?
Yeah.
Not just no. Has he ever told you the story about the game when he led the Bears back in a 2-minute drive? I think it was his only year with the Bears. And then he went to the podium and he said that his headset went out and he couldn't hear Ron Turner. And then the Bears made him apologize for that comment the very next day. So he's told you about that.
I have heard that story. It's a real, he's got a lot of great stories, obviously, but it's a really great story. Did he give you that one on the air, or that's just from reading or talking to him over the years? But it's the way he tells it is a great story. And he also says, by the way, you know, he's probably too prideful to say it, and he's a humble guy as well. He thinks that Super Bowl in Miami in the rain against Peyton might have had a different outcome if he was the guy. So,
Really?
You know what? I kind of agree with him.
He thinks that might have had a little different ending that night. So he was watching from the sideline.
Yeah, but like you said about Foles, I mean, here's a guy, like people who say, like, Nick Foles, he has a ceiling. But does he really have a ceiling? Because what he did in Philadelphia is one of the most incredible high ceilings we've ever seen from a guy, isn't it?
Yeah, he seems to have, like, these short bursts, right? These short bursts of greatness, and can he do it over an extended period of time? He's never made more than 11 starts in any season. And he's never gone a season without making at least one start, right? So he's right there, and he's bounced around. He's been around some great coaches and some great players. And I think, you know, he's still it's amazing. And in his ninth year, he's still kind of a work in progress. And, you know, last week they had a great first half, right? 3 of the first 4 possessions, they're on the scoreboard rolling, and then, you know, things obviously slow down in the second half. So he does benefit in this spot from having a great defense. And I'm going to use this on the air, but I'll give it to you guys tonight. So he told us yesterday he would be totally fine throwing for 120 yards and one interception, and they win the game tonight. And listen, other quarterbacks will tell you that, but I wouldn't believe them. And I believe Foles. He is not concerned about his personal statistics. I really think he just wants to win the game. That's, you know, one of the reasons he's so likable, too.
Steve, what about the other quarterback, Jared Goff? Obviously has taken a team to a Super Bowl. His coach has done a nice job surrounding him with talent. They run the football to take some pressure off of him. I get the sense, though, that, A, not only is he bothered by pressure, he's not a big fan of facing this Bears defense based on what they've done the last 2 years.
You know, we looked at those numbers, right, the last two seasons, even though they won the game last year, the Rams did, but, you know, he only completed 11 passes, so it had very, very little to do with him. He's never thrown a touchdown against the Bears. He's been intercepted a bunch of times, and the statistics do bear that out, that under pressure, you know, that's not Goff's strongest point, so you would think. Every defensive coordinator in the league knows what we know. They get the same next-gen statistics. So we would expect to see some Bears pressure tonight, no question, against Goff. They're fired up. Look, Aaron Donald came out and called his own team soft for last week's performance. I mean, that's not, you know, soft is a nasty word in the NFL, right? You want to talk about a four-letter word, that's one of the toughest guys in the league talking about his own team. So I really think they'll be ready to go. Goff was really inconsistent last week. Cooper Kupp dropped a pass in the end zone. That just never happens. Robert Woods dropped a pass. So I think McVay got everybody's attention this week, and the Rams will be ready to go tonight. But it really shakes up to be a really, you know, interesting close game.
The voice of Monday Night Football, Steve Levy, joining us. It's Waddle and Silvey on ESPN 1000. Waddle and I always say that we like when the Bears play on Monday night or Sunday night because we then get to watch the entire league on Sunday and measure the league against the Bears. You get to do that each and every week. So what stood out to you from yesterday's football or maybe from the year in general of what you've seen in the National Football League this year?
You know, I think the NFC is now so wide open, right? It's and much more wide open, I think, than what the AFC is. Seeing Seattle lose last night, here's really Arizona on the come, right? Green Bay is, you know, really good, and that's why we're going to have that conversation. You know, who's the best team in the NFC? Like, it's really, really wide open. You know, Tampa and New Orleans, right? I mentioned Green Bay. Like, it's just, you know, a lot of really good teams. And do the Bears, you know, based on their record, they belong in the conversation, yet no one wants to put them there. So, you know, the NFC East is a mess, and that's, you know, when people are poking holes at the Bears' 5-1 record. So if you want to look a little closer at the Rams, hey, they're 4-2. You know, their four wins, they swept the NFC East. So, like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? So, so, you know, are these two teams sort of upper middle of the pack kind of teams? I think we'll find that out tonight. But it's been an interesting start to a crazy NFL season. And listen, we're all lucky, right? We're sports fans, we're football fans. We're lucky that the NFL has gotten to this point. They really, you know, they pushed around some games, but they really are right on track to complete everything they wanted to. And as of right now, they're, you know, their goal was to complete every regular season game in 17 weeks, and they are on track for that. So it was a great Sunday in the NFL, but that's for sure.
Are you surprised that, you know, barring a couple of blips here and there, but the league, as you mentioned, is on track to get all of these games in?
You know, I felt like we got lucky, like, the first 3-4 weeks. It really wasn't a hiccup, right? And we're all sort of waiting, and then all of a sudden it happens. Then all the things with Titans, and that's bouncing people around. And then, you know, we got two games on a Monday, and we got a Tuesday night football. People are like, hey, maybe this could be a good thing, Tuesday night football. So I think the league is fortunate. I think the league is prepared. I think they've been very smart. They wanted to start on time. There is definitely flexibility built into the schedule. The Pro Bowl week was an easy one. That's like an easy extra week where you don't even have to move the Super Bowl anymore. So that buys them an extra bye week, right? The bye's in, I think, week 13. So that's where you start to lose the flexibility. I think if the Super Bowl can be played in the month of February, The league will be pretty pleased. But, yeah, they are right on schedule. And they've done a great job. They really have. This is, you know, there is no bubble here. This is really an impossible scenario. And, you know, the NBA, all the sports have done a great job, but they've done it, you know, in a bubble fashion, right? Certainly the NHL and the NBA and baseball in the playoffs. And there is that conversation in the NFL that once they get into a postseason, maybe they would consider some form of bubble. So I think that's on the table. That's a possibility. But, you wake up, you check Twitter, right, and you sort of squint your eyes like, oh, what am I going to see today? What's going to be terrible about this thing today? And then you hope it's nothing, and you move on to the next day.
Steve, great for all the success. Congratulations. Let's hopefully talk in about a month when you come back to town and you get to see Bears and Vikings. We'll be watching tonight, and thanks for everything.
Thanks, Steve.
That'd be great. Thanks for having me on, guys. Sylvie, keep feeling great, pal.
You got it. Thanks, Steve. There's Steve Levy, voice of Monday Night Football, the first year in the
booth. They have really done a nice job. I think they found their stride, the three of them, very quickly.
Well, and Steve's been with the network for so long, but like he said, it's such a different animal, like especially when you've changed the booth so many times. Our good buddy Mike Tirico leaves, you know, Gruden leaves. We've had Sean McDonough, who has always been good to us. Last year, would they have that other booth for 2 years with Booger?
Was it two years or just 1 year?
I think it was with 2 years with Booger and 1 year with Witten, right?
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So Booger was in the Boogermobile for 1 year, and then he was in the booth the second year. Yeah.
And they've just changed it so much, so no one's been able to get used to anything.
I'd like to have a Boogermobile.
No, you wouldn't. I don't think you want a Boogermobile.
Just slide around the house in the Boogermobile.
Check under your seat. That could be the Boogermobile, too. You pick your nose a lot. 312-332-3776. There was one thing that really got me ticked off watching football yesterday, and I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Take that.
One big thing watching all the games yesterday, I kept coming back to this one point, and I'll share that with you coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend watching football, winning bets, doing what you do.
Do what you do.
Do what you do on a football weekend.
Sit in my pajamas and don't move from the couch unless I got to take a bathroom break or get another drink.
You were back in town for football?
Yeah.
You were able to watch
football,
it at home?
Of course. I love all day football.
So you know how I've talked a lot about, and we all have, and you mentioned it to start the show about, you know, the jealousy of the better quarterback scenarios. I'm not going there. Like, that's always seeing what today's offenses are, seeing these young, athletic quarterbacks who can throw and can do everything, really, is awesome. But I had one visceral reaction more so yesterday at one point and in one game than in any other. And
really?
I think maybe you'll think it's weird because,
oh no,
it was, you know how I get watching the Packers. So like we want to see what the Packers are doing. The Bears are in a fight for first place with the Packers, and the Packers are playing Houston. And with David Johnson, now on Houston, I kept saying to myself, how the hell did Bill O'Brien trade Hopkins? That this is who they've got. And with what the running games, we've talked a lot about running games. Whether you tune in and you see Ezekiel Elliott drop a ball, I know it was the best thrown ball in the world, and they're paying him $90 million. Or you're watching and he drops the ball, and you're watching Todd Gurley, who just 2 years ago got the big contract, and since then he's gotten released. And now he's in Atlanta, and now he's not. He can't stop his momentum from going in the end zone. And I'm looking at David Johnson in the backfield and saying, how the hell did Bill O'Brien think that trading one of the best players in the National Football League for this dude is going to be the right move? I don't know why, but I was getting pissed about it.
I don't have a good explanation, and I think Bill O'Brien, the GM, got Bill O'Brien, the coach, fired. So I don't get it. I think that the trade made by Arizona is perfect because you pair a young quarterback with arguably one of the best two or three receivers in the league in DeAndre Hopkins, and now you see what they're capable of doing together. I don't have any idea what Bill O'Brien, the GM, was thinking. I have no idea.
It just goes with, and it's something that Carmen and Yurko have preached on this show for a long time, and I think we're all coming around to it, that it's the running game, not the running back. And it just doesn't matter. Like, look, David Johnson 3 years ago was putting up huge numbers. Todd Gurley was putting up huge numbers. Ezekiel Elliott was putting up huge numbers. But it's really not about them. It's about whoever you have in the premier situation at that time with a line to pair with a good passing game to keep teams honest. It's the commitment to the run as well. I mean, it's not about the back. And it's about these playmakers who can really do it. The quarterback, the line, the wide receivers. And
well, look what the 49ers do. I mean, the 49ers consistently.
That's a great example.
You know, it doesn't matter who's getting the football. They ran the ball for 197 yards yesterday in New England against Bill Belichick's defense. They ran it 37 times for 197 yards, which is a 5.3 yard per carry clip. Do you know who led them? I bet you can't guess. Jeff Wilson Jr.
No, right, because they've been banged up, right?
You know who was second? Jamichael Hasty.
I went to grammar school with Jamichael
Hasty. I bet
Hasty.
You did. You know who was third? Kyle Juszczyk.
There you go.
I mean, the point is that you nailed it when you said it last week. It's not so much the running back, it's the running game. And when you are, and a lot of Deebo Samuel's five catches for 65 yards are those quick forward flips in the backfield that count as a pass, but they're actually an extension of the running game. So you were 100% right. Did you know who Jeff Wilson Jr. was?
No.
Jeff Wilson Jr., North Texas College.
Didn't he get hurt, too?
He did. He had a high ankle sprain, which, and you know
so
what
you
they'll
don't
do?
Need
they'll
to
bring
know
somebody
anymore,
else in.
He'll be out.
But,
right.
That was after Raheem Mostert had a high ankle sprain the week before in their win over the Los Angeles Rams. Jeff Wilson Jr. steps in and gets the majority of the carries. Like, you're right.
Le'Veon Bell's a good example of it. I mean, there's so many guys you can just throw out that if you're paying them, you're doing it wrong. James Conner, you know, consistently running now. And they'll in Pittsburgh, you know what? They'll find the next guy.
Yeah.
After James Conner. And they do. They find the next wide receiver. They find the next running back. And all they do is just keep churning out winning teams.
Let me give you here. Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is second. He's a rookie. Kenyon Drake, who got hurt last night for Arizona, is third. Ronald Jones.
Chase Edmonds going to come in now, and he's going to tear it up for them.
Yes. Ronald Jones from Tampa Bay, he's fourth. He's got 506 rushing yards. And then you get the Dalvin Cooks and the Todd Gurleys. But then James Robinson. You know James Robinson? I bet you don't know who James Robinson plays for. Jacksonville. I didn't either. So, I mean, your point is very well taken. You can find guys. I'm not saying it's not an art. I'm not saying there aren't guys that are really good at it. But it's more about the running game than it is the running back these days in a lot of ways.
I'm looking for the Texans to put up a fight. You know, I'm like, okay, the Green Bay last week got smashed. Can you do something with them on the road? And their defense was awful. I mean,
well, that's
Aaron
where
Rodgers
you
and
know,
Devontae Adams were great. Like, without Aaron Jones playing, by the way.
Yeah, but that's a good example of a really good team. Gets butt hurt the week before. They're well coached. They fix some of their mistakes. They make the necessary adjustments. They come out. They're better. That's what I think some of what the Rams' success tonight will be about. Last week they got punched in the mouth by the 49ers. I think, and as you heard Steve Levy say in the last segment, Aaron Donald called his team soft. I think you'll see a more focused team that won't make some of the mistakes tonight that they made against the Niners.
Yeah, yeah. So the Packers did bounce back. The 49ers, that's remarkable, too. Like, 2-3 weeks ago, everyone's like, okay, who's their quarterback? Is Jimmy G their long-term quarterback now? And they were sort of reeling at the bottom of the division. And your favorite play caller, what does he do? he goes back to the drawing board. You know, you talk about the adjustments. Yeah. They adjust with who? You know, with all those running backs you mentioned. And they've come out on the other side of this now all of a sudden saying, oh, the Niners are back. Look at the last 2 weeks and what they've done.
Well, I think
pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It is, and I think the Rams are another example of that. Do you know who the two leading Rams running backs are?
Yeah, it's Henderson,
Darrell Henderson Jr., Malcolm Brown.
Right.
Like what Sean McVay has done is realized that his quarterback isn't comfortable sitting back there, being pressured, throwing it 35, 40 times a game. So they're going to run the ball first. They're going to have the play action come off of that, and that's how they're going to go about their business. That's what a good coach does.
312-332-3776. We have a great crowd, too, by the way, in Twitch. It's brought to you by DraftKings. Thanks to everybody for joining us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. A lot of interaction going on today between while listening to the show, while watching Waddle in the First Midwest Bank studio.
No fight.
Everyone's interacting. It's awesome. It's a great spot. Remember, when you get home, you can always listen to the show this way or download that ESPN Chicago app. That's the easiest way to listen to any of your favorite shows here on ESPN 1000. Download the local one, ESPN Chicago app, whether it's the live show or all the shows on demand. We're here for you. Waddle's World is coming up, and then we'll replay the feisty segment with Cap and Hoodie this morning. We'll play that at 4 o'clock.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie. And at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Yes, Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. I think it's been the case recently. There's been some pretty serious injuries week in and week out in the league, hasn't there?
Yes.
And Odell Beckham Jr. is the latest to join that group. He has a torn ACL in his left knee. So he will be out for the remainder of the year. I saw on Get Up this morning, there was a lot of talk about whether or not that Baker Mayfield is better off without him.
Yeah.
I find that to be really odd.
They showed it. They supported it with the numbers. But, you know, I don't know if he tries to get Odell the ball too much and make. I don't know. I think the sample size is too small. And you'd always want Odell Beckham Jr. on the team. But, you know, I found it, I guess, I don't know if ironic is the right term. But, like, the worst play from the weekend and one of the best plays from the weekend both came on interception returns. Like, the worst was Baker threw the interception. Odell didn't give up on the play. He's in on the tackle, and he tears his ACL. And then we all know what happened on Sunday Night Football with DJ Metcalf, where
DK
Metcalf, and he makes the tackle, and it's glorified. You know what I mean? I'm not saying one way. You should always give your all, but I just felt like it was pretty incredible, the swing of emotion on almost virtually the same play by a wide receiver in each of those games.
Yeah, listen, you can get hurt anytime you're out there. I thought what DK Metcalf did was an example to anyone who's ever played the game that you never give up on a play because you can have an enormous impact. Just when you think you can't, you can. And not only did he stop a touchdown, obviously, the Cardinals try to go for it instead of kick the field goal. So his play actually saved the Seahawks 7 points.
Right.
At the minimum, three. But also, they were trying to get the touchdown. It was, but you're right.
You said this about running balls out in baseball. The only, in this maddening game of baseball or any game sport that's really hard to play. The only thing you can ever control is your hustle.
That's right.
You know what I
mean?
Effort. Your effort. And both of them did it with different results, though. And it just sucks that Odell made the right play in, say, you know, getting in on the tackle, and it cost him. That interception cost him his season.
Yeah. Cam Newton says he's embarrassed. He admits his starting job may be in jeopardy. One day after throwing three picks in the Patriots' blowout loss to the 49ers, Newton said he realizes he can't have too many more poor performances. Quote, "The first thing I said to myself coming home was, you keep playing games like that, bro, and it's going to be a permanent change." Look, I think outside of the performance against the Seahawks, against what we have found out is a horrible defense, it's been a rough ride for Cam in New England this,
yeah,
so far this year.
Well, since COVID, for sure. And both have surprised me. It surprised me how good he looked against Seattle, and it surprised me how bad he's looked since coming back. And he didn't make any excuses. He just says he needs to play better. I still believe, you know, without the outcome bias, that for the risk of signing him, that, like, think about it. The Bears paid Cody Parkey more for not playing for them than it would have cost to get you Cam Newton. Think about that.
Didn't they pay Cody Parkey $9 million total?
Yeah, so think about what the cap hit was in the year that they let him go when he didn't play. So whatever they paid Cody Parkey in that year not to play, or whatever it was that they had to pay, you could have gotten Cam Newton for less than that. It was always worth it. It was a buy low. You were buying, like, what people don't understand when I suggest a buy low. I suggest a buy low on Haskins. I suggested a buy low on Cam. The reason you're able to buy low is because it's the low point of their career. There were issues with injury with Cam. There are issues with Haskins right now. But you never can buy low when guys are going well, nor are those guys ever going to be available.
I'd like to buy right in the middle. When I buy low, I know that why I'm buying low. Like with Cam, it was nobody could get their hands on him. He was coming off significant injuries. Nobody knew whether or not he was going to be able to function at a high level. I'd rather buy somewhere a little bit in between. I don't want to buy high, I don't want to buy low, but I want to buy somewhere in the middle where there's a greater sense of, at the very least, this is going to be okay. It may not be great, but it's not going to suck.
Yeah. A lot of pitchers people buy low on, you know, coming off of a Tommy John, and then they hope to rehab him. A lot of guys don't work out, but some of them do.
Some of them do. You're right. As you mentioned earlier, Ron Rivera has completed his treatments for cancer. He rang the bell earlier today, and it was great to see. I don't know if anybody missed out on that, but if you did, I'm sure you can find some of the highlights on Twitter. But Ronnie's a good friend of ours.
He tweeted it out, too, with how it started and how it's going. So, and he showed, like, him in treatment at first, and then him ringing the bell now.
Yeah, it's a great story. Ronnie's very good people, and obviously we wish him the best. The NFL is not expected to suspend John Bostic for his hit on Andy Dalton.
Former Bear John Bostic.
That is correct. It was awful. It was vicious. And I won't say that the lack of a response from the Cowboys was worse, because I don't think that that's naturally the case from a sportsman's perspective, you can say that, but anytime a quarterback or any player gets hit in the head like that, that's the most important, and that's the worst part of it. But I was absolutely shocked by the lack of any activity from the Dallas Cowboys, their offensive line, some of their receivers. It was as if they really didn't care that Andy Dalton had been cheap-shotted by John Bostic.
Do you believe that Mike McCarthy could be in danger?
Yes,
as a one and done.
Guy? Yeah, I do. I do believe that.
Because they paid a lot of money, didn't they? I mean, Jerry's got all the money in the world, though. But
yeah, but you can't allow. I mean, this is embarrassing. I mean, it's been embarrassing for a while. They're winless, aren't they? Or have they won a game? Are they winless?
No, they're not winless. I don't believe they're winless.
No, you're right. They're 2-5.
They came back against
two.
Atlanta.
That's right.
Remember
that's right.
that?
That's right.
With Dak.
So they're 2-5.
Yeah.
I think that what I saw was is they have not covered they're 0-7 against the spread.
Yes,
this year.
You were right. And yeah. I think the Jets finally covered. The Jets were the other team that hadn't covered the spread going in.
That is a hideous football team.
But they covered against the Bills,
yeah,
didn't they?
They did, yeah. I think the number was 9, and they lost 18 to 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Dallas is 0-7 against the spread. The Texans and the Jets are 1-6 ATS.
Good yeah. times.
The Bills, all they did was kick field goals. I'm like, well, come on. I'll tell you, picking games in the NFL is a humbling experience. Just when you think, I was chirping to the boys, Waddle, on Friday. First time, like, I can remember this late in the season in my Sun Times picks. That I was above 500.
Oh, did you have a monsterly bad?
I may have gotten two.
You were
right.
Chirping just when you were in first place and like a love a taste of it. You go 0-3.
Ah, oh, yes, some ground being Uh-oh. Made up this week. Oh,
0-3 by like a half point in one game, a point in another game.
Love it.
How did I do?
Yes, you didn't do well either.
No.
You only.
I don't think you did well, did you, Abdallah?
I just said I went 0-3.
Oh, you went 0-3.
Yeah, okay. Accountability Monday. Yeah. No, I think Waddle went 1-2 and is now 1 point ahead of me or 2 points ahead of me.
Because I was with you with the Ohio State thing, Abdallah. I thought it was great philosophy, but man, that was a game for the first half.
I should have gone full game and not half halftime. That was my mistake. And then, I mean, every gambler's gambler was wrong on Michigan, Minnesota. Because every sharp was on Minnesota at +3.5.
Jim Harbaugh now has got his guy a quarterback.
I thought a lot of people had. Did a lot of people have the Cardinals? I know Carmen had the Cardinals as opposed to the Seahawks. Seahawks had a 10-point lead with 2 minutes and 30-some seconds to go. Yeah. Come on.
Oh, I got all caps text from Chris. All caps Chris. I know when he's mad about losing gambling bets. Because I believe he was on the wrong side of the Indiana game. And what was the other one that went?
Did you guys see what happened in the Browns-Bengals game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cody Parkey
gave you the amazing,
right?
Ruined
that. 3-point lead. Parkey comes up to hit the extra point to then give the win to those who had the Browns -3.5. It was my taste on Friday. Sylvie, you remember that little taste.
Sure.
And then Parkey biffs it.
And by the way,
what did I text you, Abdallah? Can you read what I text?
All caps, Chris. I don't think I can. There's too many Fs.
By the way, a lot of people got kicked by the Bills, too, because of the Tyler Bass was 6 of 8 from field goal attempts. But he missed 2 as well. If he makes one of those, you win that game, right? Because wasn't the line 9 or 9.5 or 10?
Yeah, it's accountability.
I mean, there were some tough beats in both Saturday and Sunday. All right, when we come back, I have the nuttiest story of the day and a little something we call Florida or Ohio.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right. Nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
Oh, yes. All right. You know what freaks me out most?
Not having any booze in the house?
That's one. Aside from that, space. Anything space related.
Right.
NASA says there is definitely water on the moon. The moon lacks the bodies of liquid water that are a hallmark of Earth. But NASA scientists said today that lunar water is more widespread than previously known, with water molecules trapped within mineral grains on the surface and more water perhaps hidden in ice patches residing in permanent shadows. While research 11 years ago indicated water was relatively widespread in small amounts on the moon, a team of scientists is now reporting the first unambiguous detection of water molecules on the lunar surface. At the same time, another team is reporting that the moon possesses roughly 15,400 square miles of permanent shadows that potentially could harbor hidden pockets of water in the form of ice.
So does that mean that we could live
there?
On
the moon?
Yeah. Is that why this is important?
I'm reading.
I would imagine it would also be
partially part of it.
I would imagine it's also possible that there's life.
Right.
On the moon.
Yeah, you know that.
Where there's water, there could be life, there could be some.
What about
kind
on the moon
little
landings that AA in there suggests didn't happen when they happened? What if for whatever reason, like, you had some sort of, I don't know, something living, like a molecule of something that you left there that was on the heel of one of your moon boots. And, like, it just got crusted in there and, like, some little animal, like a fly or a gnat or something. No, nobody's buying that?
I don't know.
No.
Wait, like maybe a gnat on your moon boot?
No, my point is as I'm not expressing this as eloquently as I would have liked to.
Yeah.
But maybe we transferred something living to the moon.
Huh.
When the space capsule landed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe we transferred something living from Earth to the moon.
There's life everywhere in some way, shape, or form.
I don't know.
So, wait, all these planets.
You want to live on the moon? You want to live on the moon?
They don't have to look like us. They can. I'm just saying, all these planets, and it's only us. Just us.
Oh, I'm with you. I think that would be arrogant to think it's just us. It's arrogant to think that. So I'm just saying. NASA's planning a return of astronauts to the moon. A mission envisioned is paving the way for a later journey carrying a crew to Mars. No word on whether or not anyone will, in fact, board an aircraft and land on Uranus.
He always liked that Uranus joke. It always goes over well.
Woo! Drunk man claims he's the son of God and throws mailboxes in the street. Altoona, Pennsylvania, an Altoona man was charged after allegedly screaming and throwing items into the road at 5 a.m. According to the complaint, he's a 42-year-old man, Martin Miller, outside of his apartment. Wednesday, October 14th, when police arrived, observed two mailboxes laying in the street and a handle of vodka behind him. Police spoke with a woman who called the police after Miller woke her up by screaming from the street, "Skies are opening!" and that he was the son of God.
Wow.
She reportedly told officers that right before their arrival, he was throwing things into the street and screaming, "Beam me up, Scotty.
Beam me up, Scotty." Yeah. He wants to go to the moon where there's water now.
That's a handle of vodka. We'll do that to you, I guess. There's got to be some other goodies involved in that ingestion, isn't there?
Oh, for sure.
Like a handle of vodka will get you rocked, but it's...
Yeah, but you always say that it's the devil's alcohol.
Oh, it's
alcohol,
the devil's alcohol. That and gin. Gin just makes me physically sick.
I can't do gin.
But I don't drink vodka either. For some reason, my body doesn't process vodka.
Why? Because it was. What does it do?
I don't know. Maybe that's just me convincing myself that maybe I don't know. Maybe it's me.
You've always told me that vodka makes you crazy.
Yeah.
Well, look at this guy. Beat me up.
Guzzling scotch doesn't do any better for me either. I'm not going to lie. And I'll shotgun a few beers, too, and that'll leave me feeling strange. Anyway, you guys want to play a game?
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals.
I'm the son of God.
Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table.
It's
the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
I think this is one of the more underrated things that we do on a four-hour basis every day.
Man,
is that open? I like
the
that
open,
open,
not the segment?
Not the segment. The open.
Really?
The open is.
We just play the open, then we don't have to do.
No, I want to hear now.
I can just tell you the answer.
A random stabbing.
A man arrested after calling 911 to alert authorities about an alien invasion.
Ooh. Okay, wow, more space themed.
Meet James Florent.
James.
Anybody else think of the Dr. Dre and Eminem song? Meet James Florent. The 28-year-old man was arrested early yesterday after misuse of the 911 system, after he placed a bizarre 1:45 a.m. call to the police emergency line. Florent told...
Why don't you give us an imitation of that?
Florent told an operator he was seeing aliens, little ones, flying low to the ground. The resident added that he did not want to go all Independence Day on them, an apparent reference to the movie starring Will Smith, Jeff Goldblum, and Bill Pullman. And then the article, for some reason, gives you an explanation of what
Independence Day was.
Okay. Like, people don't know what it is. The man was locked up on a $500 bond on the misdemeanor charge. His rap sheet includes convictions for battery theft and a probation violation. Was the man seeing little aliens flying low to the ground in Florida or Ohio?
Totally Tampa. They were celebrating Tom Brady's return to dominance.
No, this is small town Ohio.
I'm with Sylvie. This is like a farmer just having a bad day, thinking there's aliens coming after his crops.
Just having a bad day.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
A man was arrested after calling 911 to elude authorities about an alien invasion in the capital of Florida or Ohio, Vero Beach, Florida.
Yeah. Wow, the home office.
Oh. The home office.
I love it. It's awesome. All right, Florida or Ohio. Waddle wins that one. Who won this morning? I was told to pack a lunch that Cap wanted to debate and argue, and he was sending out gifts of, like, Conor McGregor in the ring. And then the next thing I knew, people were mad. So we'll replay the segment with Cap if you missed it this morning with me and Jonathan Hood and Cap. That's coming up in 2 short minutes.